Our sermon for the week of March 9th, 2025, the first Sunday in Lent, is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 4 through 11, 32 through 40, and 45 through 59. And the theme of our sermon is One Battle for All the Marbles. From 1 Samuel chapter 17. A challenger who represented the Philistines came out from the camp of the Philistines. He was named Goliath of Gath. He was 9 feet 6 inches tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore scaled body armor, which was made of more than 100 pounds of bronze. He had bronze greaves on his shins, and a bronze spear slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead was made of 15 pounds of iron. His shield bearer went out ahead of him. He would stand up and shout to the armies of Israel, "Why have you come out to line up in battle formation? I am a Philistine, and you are servants of Saul, aren't you? Choose a man to represent you, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, we will be your servants. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our servants, and you will serve us." The Philistine would say, "I defy the ranks of Israel today. Give me a man, and we will fight each other." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they lost their courage and were terrified. David said to Saul, "Do not let anyone lose heart because of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." But Saul said to David, "You cannot go against this Philistine to fight with him, because you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior since he was a youth." David said to Saul, "Your servant has been taking care of his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the lamb out of its mouth. When the lion reared up against me, I grabbed it by its mane, struck it, and killed it. Your servant struck both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has defiled the ranks of the living God." David added, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go then, may the Lord be with you." So Saul dressed David in his own gear. He placed a bronze helmet on his head and dressed him in scaled body armor. David strapped his sword over his gear. David tried to walk around in them, since he had never been trained with this kind of equipment before. David said to Saul, "I cannot go in these, because I have never trained with them." So David took them off. Then David took his staff in his hand and picked 5 smooth stones out of the stream bed and put them into the pouch of his shepherd's bag. He took his sling in his hand and approached the Philistine. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth. Then all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will deliver you into our hand." Then, when the Philistine started advancing to attack David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand into his bag, took a stone from it, shot it from his sling, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. The word of the Lord. Everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. Even those who don't know it from the Bible know the phrase. It's about the weak beating strong and good overcoming evil. But the account of David and Goliath has a message greater than that. A message greater than trust in the Lord and you can stand up to the Goliaths in your life. While there's some truth there, this account of David and Goliath foreshadows a greater battle, a battle even bigger than this one. David was just a kid, not old enough yet to go out to war with the armies of Israel. Instead, while his older brothers were at war, David stayed behind to care for the sheep. But his father Jesse was getting antsy. With his sons out fighting, he wanted to know how they were doing. So he sent his youngest son with a care package for his brothers and for the other fighting men. What David found when he got there was truly terrifying. Before the camp of Israel stood the Philistine champion, a nearly 10-foot-tall Goliath. Everything about him was giant, including his weapons and his armor. And Goliath was no gentle giant. He stood before the army of God to mock them and mock the king that God had placed over them. The Philistine people, they were a violent people. They were constantly working to expand the boundaries of the kingdom. They'd raid and pillage anywhere they could. They were the greatest enemy of Israel in that time, and Goliath was their fiercest fighter. Goliath, he didn't just mock the Israelites. He challenged them. Choose a man to represent you, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, we will be your servants. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our servants, and you will serve us. I defy the ranks of Israel today. Give me a man, and we will fight each other. This was not just a challenge to a mano-a-mano fight for personal arrogance. This was a battle of nation against nation, of God against God. Goliath would stand as the champion of the Philistines. Their fate would rest in his strength. As for the Israelites, well, no one had stepped forward to represent the people. You'd think Saul, their king, would have gone ahead to serve on behalf of his people. We hear when Saul became king that he was a head taller than his countrymen. But standing in front of Goliath made Saul look and feel small. Saul, like the rest of his fighting men, was afraid. And this really shouldn't be of any surprise to us, though. Saul had already had a falling out with God, with the Lord finally telling him that his throne would be taken away from him because of his arrogance and disbelief. Saul would not be the champion of Israel because Saul's trust was not in the Lord. This is the situation young David wandered into as he came to drop off the care package and get some intel to relate to his dad. But what he saw appalled him. How dare this Philistine mock God's people? David's frustration finally reached the ear of King Saul, who sent for him. Standing before Saul, David volunteered to fight the giant on behalf of his people and his God. But Saul was skeptical. No one could blame him for thinking this way. Were they really going to send a kid who was not even old enough to join the army to fight for the fate of Israel? Certainly David was brave, but was he able to accomplish this task? He thought so. But he didn't think he could do it because he was so much stronger than Goliath. He knew he could do it because he was fighting for God. He knew he could do it because David knew a secret that Saul didn't. Remember how Saul was told that by God that his throne would be taken away from him because of his rebellion against God's commands? Well, God had already chosen his replacement. In secret, without the king's knowing, the prophet Samuel was sent by God to the home of Jesse to anoint his youngest son to be the next king. I wonder how much that factored into the fact that David was willing to represent his people in a seemingly unwinnable battle. He knew God had made him the next king. He knew that God would not allow his chosen king to lose his life or for his people to be taken as slaves. Everyone who heard David speak with such confidence probably thought that he was an arrogant and out-of-touch kid. But because he knew the promises God had made through David, David's confidence doesn't sound crazy at all. The decision was finally made. The kid would go out and fight for the nation. In Saul's tent, Israel's outgoing king unknowingly placed his armor on Israel's incoming king. But the armor didn't fit. It was too big for David. But in a deeper way, it was inappropriate for the occasion. Saul was looking at this battle as an earthly king. He saw a bigger enemy and figured he had no chance. He placed his armor on David because he believed this would allow the young man to keep from getting slaughtered long enough for the giant to make a mistake. But David saw this battle for what it was. He trusted that God's hand was upon him, because this battle was not David versus Goliath, but the true God versus the pretend idols of Philistia. So, David prepared for battle with God's promises in mind. He took his shepherd's staff, 5 smooth stones, and his slingshot, and went out to the battlefield. When David arrived to serve as the substitute for his people, Goliath was in shock. "Am I a dog that you come against me with sticks? Come to me, and I will feed your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the countryside." But David was undeterred. Listen to this confession of faith. He says, "You come against me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth. Then all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will deliver you into our hand." David trusts that the strength of God will accomplish God's good purposes, even if his strength is shown in the weakest of packages. When Goliath began to advance, ready to make quick work of this Israelite boy, David did not flee. He ran toward Goliath, pulling out his slingshot and whipping a stone right into Goliath's forehead. The giant fell. The victory did not belong to the serpent's seed, Goliath and his nation of unbelief. It belonged to the seed of the woman, Eve's grandson of 1,000 years. The king chosen by God to represent the people, not only from the throne, but from the battle line. But what if I told you this account of David is really just the appetizer to another story? A story with many different names and places, but with similar events. The enemy of God's people stood at the front lines of the battlefield. In his mocking tone, he poured out threats. Like Goliath, he called for a battle of champions, a battle for all the marbles. But no one could stand against him. All would perish. They would become his slaves forever. No one was willing to step forward to face him. They were all too afraid. They were all too weak. But one man stepped forward. No one would have chosen him to be their champion. He was just so ordinary, so unimpressive to his fellow countrymen. But he was all they had. They tried to outfit him with everything they thought he'd need for the war. But just like Saul, they were thinking in earthly terms. They were thinking that this battle would be won with brute strength. But the armor they tried to force him into just didn't fit. It was not appropriate. Instead, he would fight a different way. You see, this champion had a secret too. Unbeknownst to many of his fellow citizens, he too had been anointed. Not with oil, but with water. Secretly, God had chosen him to sit on the throne of his King David, to rule the people in a way even the great king himself had been unable to. The representative of God's people stepped forward. not with a sling in hand, but dragging a wooden cross. And as the enemy charged, he charged back. Up the hill he drove that enemy, like an offensive lineman pushing one of those blocking sleds back and back and back. And there at the top of the hill, the champion of God died. And while that doesn't sound a whole lot like David's story, when the champion died, the giant fell. God's people were saved. The enemy was crushed. The victory did not belong to the serpent's seed, Satan and his demons of rebellion. It belonged to the seed of the woman, Eve's grandson of thousands of years, the king chosen by God to represent the people, not only from the throne, but from the battle line itself. The victory belonged to great David's greater son, God's chosen Savior. This story of David is a foreshadowing of Christ. As the people of the Old Testament saw the power of God's rescue through David, they were given a taste of what God would accomplish in the future through Jesus. One battle for all the marbles. And thankfully, that champion has gone to the battlefield for us. Thankfully, he has defeated the giant in death and taken his life up again so that we know the victory is ours. On life's battlefield, friends, do not fear. Because the lesson is not that we can beat the Goliaths like David. It's that our David has already beaten the Goliaths that we face. So live in confidence, rooted in Jesus, your champion. Amen.